I see some faces, some persons in our audience that I think are just visitors. So a little background on what we're doing here. We're having a light show, for one thing. Let's see what's going on here. It keeps flickering. You're doing something. You're doing nothing. The electrons are moving very quickly. Okay. It's all the electrons. He's not doing anything. This holiday, we're calling it a winter retreat, we're discussing using prayer to help us go deeper in the life of devotion to Krishna. That's our topic. And started Friday evening with our visiting devotee from San Diego, Vidit Prabhu. Very entertaining and very scholarly at the same time, Vaishnav. Explaining how the Hare Krishna mantra can be chanted prayerfully. That was Friday. It's a very simple thing that we do all the time. How to do in a more devotional and prayerful manner. And then this morning I spoke about one of our great acharyas, followers of Lord Chaitanya, who wrote verses, prayerful verses, describing the glories of the name and where the connection with the name takes you, prayers to the name, basically saying the name and the person named are the same. In Sanskrit, nama, nami, or vacha and vachika, they're the same. The person has form, the name has form, and one can be fully acquainted with the absolute truth through the name, fully acquainted with one's relationship, with our forgotten relationship with the source of everything, our very personal, loving relationship through that name. So, prayers to the name by one of our great acharyas. So, this evening, I wanted to do the same thing, only a different great personality. This one being Haridas Thakur. For those of you that are newer, Lord Chaitanya, maybe I need to go explain first who is Lord Chaitanya for our newer people. In simple terms, because I want to get to these nice prayers, Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself teaching how to live a life according to Bhagavad Gita. The conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, sarva-dharmam parityaja mamekam shananam vraja aham tvam sarva-papebhyo moksha yeshyami masujaha. Teaching how to take full shelter of Krishna. Abandon all varieties of other ideas and take full shelter of Krishna. And in so doing, papa, sin will be far away and you're in safe hands. You're in Krishna's hands. You go back to Godhead in this lifetime or in this lifetime and after this lifetime. Punar janma na. No more cycle of birth and death. So how to do that? Krishna considered this Kali Yuga. After my departure, Kali Yuga has begun and people will have a hard time understanding my instructions. So let me show them by example how to. So he did. And he also gave this Yuga Dharma, Yuga Dharma, meaning the primary means of achieving that purity of heart, is the chanting of the holy name. And so those representing pretty ecstatic, huh? It's just like, woo. Yeah, you can fiddle with it. Yeah. So, yeah, tighten the screws. Tighten them tight, tight, tight. The screws. Doesn't have? Oh, that may be the problem. You want another connector? I have another connector. If it keeps doing this, we'll do that. You don't have to move it onto another place on the table. It's the connector. Okay, let's see what happens. Thanks. Stand by. Those electrons are up to no business. Okay. The chanting of the holy name. Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Harir Nama Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nastyeva, Nastyeva, Nastyeva Gatir Anyata. That's a good sign. Instead of two. So Haridas Thakur, as an associate of Lord Chaitanya, who came to teach how to live one's life according to Bhagavad Gita's teaching, he was the acharya, the teacher by example, for the chanting of the holy name. Little bit about the life of Haridas. He was something like 24 years older than Lord Chaitanya. So when Lord Chaitanya left this world, he was 48. That means add 24 to 48. Haridas was quite old in comparison, years-wise, not terribly, but significantly older. When Lord Chaitanya was 20, he's 48, let's say, if that's 24 years difference. So maybe more. Maybe more. So he was born in a Muslim family, but from his childhood, spontaneously he was chanting Krishna's name. And he became recognized in his own community as a great devotee of Krishna, a great Vaishnav. And someone who becomes exalted, when to speak of from a Muslim family you become an exalted Vaishnava, you're going to have some opposition from some people. They think that's not good. So he was undeviating despite that opposition. And his whole life he literally chanted all day long. And his whole life, he was a Hare Krishna chanter. And because of that chanting, his heart became totally pure. And when the heart becomes pure, natural devotion awakens, because it's already there, and it awakens. And when natural devotion awakens, then so does all knowledge and detachment awaken. That's a teaching we find in Srimad Bhagavatam, and it's life. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojataha Janayati Ashu Vairagyam Jnanam Cha Yadahaitukam. Because of his bhakti, awakened by pure chanting, knowledge awakened, detachment awakened. Fully manifest, his realization of the absolute truth was complete. Wasn't scholarly person, he was a realized person, and he knew scripture. There's many examples to show. He knew. He wasn't scholarly, but he knew specific references within scripture. Because he was good at hearing, not because he was spending hours and hours and hours, as his scholars will do, to pore over the Vedas and study the Vedas. Very knowledgeable, because his heart was fully pure. And during the second half of Lord Chaitanya's life, which was 24 years in his status as a sannyasi, Haridas Thakur was residing very proximate in Puri, Jagannath Puri, to where Lord Chaitanya was keeping his residence, also in Puri. And every day they would associate. Haridas was very humble, feeling, I'm unqualified, I'm born in this Muslim family, I can't enter the Jagannath temple. He never entered the Jagannath temple. He saw Jagannath and Rathyatra day, and the day that the Jagannath deity returned from the Gundicha temple back to the temple, he saw Jagannath twice a year. But otherwise, he never entered the temple, feeling, I'm unfit. Very humble. Perfectly fit, but very humble. And so Lord Chaitanya came to see him, brought Jagannath Prasad from the temple that was given by the priests to him as a sannyasi, and he gave to Haridas. And they discussed topics of Krishna every day. Very, very intimate, loving relationship. Although Haridas was elder, he respected Lord Chaitanya as the personality of Godhead. And so when we visited Jagannath Puri, we went to the residence of Haridas, a very special place called Siddha Bakul. Called Siddha Bakul because in a miracle, Lord Chaitanya created a Bakul tree from a stick, like a little twig that was used as tadiya, paraphernalia for Jagannath's worship. Every morning he's offered a toothbrush. And the toothbrush is a soft branch of a Bakul stem with the end kind of softened. And that's, they give him one of those every day. And then it becomes paraphernalia. So Lord Chaitanya had one of those and he stuck it in the ground and voila, a Bakul tree, miracle tree. Therefore, Siddha Bakul, that has big leaves and provided shade because it's very hot in Puri in the summer. And he didn't want Haridas sitting in the hot sun. So he created a Bakul tree from a little twig. Siddha Bakul. Everyone in Puri knows. They don't know the place of Haridas. They know Siddha Bakul. Everyone. I learned that. And I don't speak Oriya either. So when visiting there, there's the place where every day, very sacred, still today, you can feel the vibration, because he was chanting without offense the pure holy name every day, all day long, for years. At least 18 years, more. So these are prayers. This is going to be participatory, just following Dravida's nice example. He has everyone sing along with Dravida Prabhu. So we'll be doing that. These are taken from Chaitanya Bhagavat. It's one of the biographies about Lord Chaitanya's life. And the person recording it or writing Chaitanya Bhagavat is Vrindavan Das Thakur, very, very famous Vaishnava. The original biographer of Lord Chaitanya's life, even before the one that we now have within ISKCON, Chaitanya Charitamrita. So it's authoritative. He's recognized in the Vaishnava community as the Vyasa Deva of Lord Chaitanya's pastime, because Vyasa Deva compiled Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the narration of Krishna's activities and pastimes. Vyasadeva did that for Krishna, and Vrindavan Das is the Vyasa of Lord Chaitanya. He did this same service. So it's very wonderful. I'm going to summarize a little bit, and as we go along, I'll pause here and there. There's like 40 prayers. You'll find humility abundant, because that's part of his character. Absolutely humble, embarrassingly humble, abjectly humble. He is honoring, he's speaking to Lord Chaitanya, he's offering prayers to Lord Chaitanya. Honoring a very important part of a life of a devotee. Bhagavad Gita's message. One verse in Bhagavad Gita that's spoken twice. At least the first part. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. So the manmana part, think of me remembering Krishna. Haridasa is honoring great personalities who were able to always remember Krishna. And he gives different examples, and we'll pause a little bit. Different examples. The importance of remembering Krishna and the benefit that comes to one who always remembers Krishna. They get Krishna's mercy. That's the benefit. And then the humble part is, I cannot remember you. He's chanting the whole day long for his whole life. He's certainly remembering Krishna. We have this nice prayer that we recite whenever we have yajnas. Om apavitro pavitrova sarvastam gatopiva ya smarit pundarikaksham sambhaya abhyantara suchihi. Shri Vishnu. So by yasmaret, by remembering the lotus-eyed Supreme Lord, one becomes fully qualified, pavitra or apavitra, purified or unpurified, sarvavastam gatopiva, having passed through all circumstances of life, just by this one thing. What's that? Remembrance, constant remembrance of Krishna. Constant remembrance of Krishna. So Haridas is glorifying constant remembrance, saying several times, I cannot remember you, I'm so unfortunate. He's always remembering Krishna, but he's in this mood of a qualified Vaishnava, feeling I'm not qualified. It's not false humility. It's not low self-esteem. It's just the character of an elevated soul. This nice example is given many times. A tree that's laden with fruit, it bows down. Now, a tree that doesn't have any fruit, but a tree that has a lot of fruit, like that, completely humble. So he is emphasizing this importance of remembrance. It's one of the 9 processes of devotional service given to us. The list of 9 is given in Srimad Bhagavatam. It's the 3rd one, Vishnu Smaranam. Shravanam Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, remembrance of Krishna. We find in Rupa Goswami's writings, we heard from Rupa Goswami this morning, that Prahlad Maharaj achieved perfection, just by this remembrance of Krishna, or remembrance of Vishnu. Always, even in difficult circumstance, always remembering Krishna. Perfection. So Haridas is honoring that perfection. He's not specifically saying, please place remembrance in my mind, because those of you know from Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is the source of remembrance. Yes? Sarvashyachaham riddhi sannivishto vataksatir gyanam apohanam cha. There's that smriti again. Knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness has one source, the same source. Aham, Krishna, the Super Soul. So he's not exactly saying, please give me constant remembrance, although he could certainly ask for that. He's already got it. He's asking for shelter at his lotus feet, Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet. And then, although I'm unqualified, I'm giving you like a little gloss of his prayer. Although I'm not qualified, I'm shameful. I'm going to ask for something anyways, although I'm not qualified for that. What is it? Anything you want. Anything. It's yours. Similar to what Lord Nrisingadev said to Prahlad, for his constant remembrance. You please me so much, you name it, it's yours. I'm the only one that's to fulfill the desires of every living being. Whatever you want, just say it. It's yours. Prahlad said, please don't ask me, because I'm materialistic and I'll ask for something material and I'll become attached to that something material and become proud. And so better not ask me. Better just, I recognize there's only one thing between you and me. You're the master. This is another prayer in our theme of utilizing or engaging with prayer to strengthen and deepen our bhakti. There's only one thing. I'm the servant. You're the master. And my life is, my existence is to serve you. That's all. There's nothing else between us. But Haridas asks for something. He doesn't ask for something selfish. He asks for the purification to make himself qualified, the purification of the mercy of the devotee, of Lord Chaitanya's devotees. Birth after birth, just this one thing. Let me accept the remnants of the prasad, the mercy, the foodstuffs of your devotee. I can be a dog in the house of a devotee, but just give me the mercy of your devotee. That's my one request. Because through the mercy of the devotee, one gets the mercy of Krishna, right? And the other way around, without the mercy of the devotee, is it possible to get Krishna's mercy? No. Many scriptural references that speak like that. A very famous one, this is Krishna speaking to Arjuna, not in Bhagavad Gita, but in a Purana, Adi Purana. Some people say that they're my devotee, but I'll let you know. That's not who my devotee is. My devotee is one who's the devotee of my devotee. That's my devotee. And to such a person I give my mercy. You want Krishna's mercy? Become a devotee of Krishna's devotee. It's already there. You don't have to ask the devotee for Krishna's mercy. You've got it. It's part of what the devotee is. It's the embodiment or the carrier in their heart of Krishna's mercy. That's bhakti. Because bhakti awakens in the heart by the mercy of one who's carrying bhakti in their heart. Then you can transmit it. If you're carrying bhakti in your heart to someone else, you're carrying Krishna's mercy. It's not you, it's Krishna's mercy. And that's the life of a Vaishnava. That's the life of Haridas. So in his prayer, there's some very wonderful teachings. And I've taken up half the class just to do the introduction. Now comes these nice prayers. So Sri Rupa is going to sing. Our musicians are going to accompany her singing. Where's the mridanga player? Oh, there he is. All right. Okay. So from... she'll sing. You respond, please. And as we go along, after the singing and responding part, I'll read the translation and from time to time stop. And I'm going to, even before we start the first one, this word Vishvambhar is a name of Lord Chaitanya, according to Chaitanya Charitamrita, by which he was known from his youth. And according to Chaitanya Charitamrita, it means because he floods the world with the nectar of devotion and thus saves the living beings. Those of you that have Gayatri Mantra, you're familiar with this word Vishvambhar, and here's the meaning. He floods the world with the nectar of devotion and thus saves the living beings. That's this Vishvambhar. Okay. In Bengali.
Bapa Vishwambhara Prabhu Jagatera Nath Pata Kire Kara Kripa Padila Tomata
My dear Vishvambhar, O Lord of the universe, please be merciful to this sinful person. I fall at your feet. Soft, yeah, soft both, you too.
Nirguna dhamma sarva jati bahishkrita muni ki baliba prabhu tomar charita.
I have no good qualities. I'm a fallen outcast. How can I possibly describe your glories?
Dekhile pathaka more parashile snana muni ki baliba prabhu tomara khyan.
If one sees me, he becomes sinful. If one touches me, he should take a bath. How can I glorify your topics?
Eka satyakari acha apanavadane ye jana tumar kare charan smarane
ekha satya kariya cha apanavadane ye jana tumar kare charan smarane
kita tulya hai adi तारे नहीं छाड़ा इहाते अन्याता हाले नरेंद्र रपाड़ा
कीता तुल्या हाया यदि तारे नहीं छाड़ा इहाते अनंता You have personally declared that you will never forsake anyone who remembers your lotus feet, even if he is as insignificant as an insect. But you forsake the greatest of kings if they do not remember your lotus feet.
Hey, Balana Himora, Smarana Vihina, स्मरण करिले मात्रा राखा तुम्ही दीना
If a fallen soul remembers you, you give him shelter, but I am unable to remember you.
मध्य द्रौपति करित विवासना अनिल पपिष्ट दुर्योधन दुशासना
मध्य द्रौपदी करित विसना अनिल पपिष्ट दुर्योधन दुशासना
संकट पदिया कृष्णा तोमा सनरीला स्मरण प्रभावे तुमी वस्त्र प्रवेशीला
Once the sinful brothers Duryodhana and Durshasana brought Draupadi to disrobe her in the royal assembly. Finding herself in that dangerous condition, she remembered you. By the influence of her remembrance, you entered into her cloth.
Sasmarana prabhavi vastra harila ananta तथापि न जानीला से सब दुरंता
As a result of her remembrance, the cloth became unlimited. Yet those miscreants did not understand why.
कोन काले पार्वती रे डाकी निरगाने देवी अखाई ते कला तोमार स्मराने
One time, When Parvati was surrounded by witches, she remembered you as they were about to devour her.
Smarana prabhavi tumi avirbhutahana karila sabara shasti vaishnavitariya
By the influence of her remembrance, you appeared to chastise those witches and deliver that great Vaishnavi.
hena toma smarana dina muni papa more tora charane charana deha papa
But I am so sinful that I cannot remember you, therefore, my dear Lord, please give me shelter at your lotus feet.
Disha sarpagni jale pathar bandiya helila pralade dushta hiranyadhariya
Disha sarpagni jale Patare pandiya Elila Dushta Annapriya
Pralada Karila Tora Charana Smarana Smarana Prabhavi Sarva Dukha Vimochana
Charana Smarana Smarana Prabhavi Sarva Although the sinful Hiranyakashipu tortured Prahlad by giving him poison, throwing him to the snakes, throwing him into the fire, and throwing him bound to a rock in the water, Prahlad simply remembered your lotus feet and was delivered from all those calamities by the influence of that remembrance.
Karova Bangila Danta Karote Jonasha Smarana Prabhavitumi Haila Prakash
Karova Bangila Danta Karote Jonasha Smarana Prabhavitumi Haila Some lost their teeth and some their prowess when you manifested by the influence of his remembrance.
Panduputra sanarila durvasara bhaye aranya pratyaksha haila Haiya sadaye
Pandu putra samila Durva sarabhaye Aranye Haiya
Chinta nahi yudhishthira Hera dekha ami Ami diva muni bhiksha Vasi thaka tumi
Chinta nahi yudhishthira hera dekha mami ami diva muni bhiksha vasataka In fear of Durvasa, the sons of Pandu remembered you in the forest and you appeared before them out of compassion. You then said, Do not worry, Yudhisthira, for I am here. I will give alms to the sages. You sit and watch.
Avashisha ekashaka achila handite santoshikhaila nija sevaka rakhite
Avashisha ekashaka achila handite Sandoshe Karila Nija Sevaka Ike
Snani Sabari Shira Udar Mahapule Srimata Sabari Shipala Ila Dare
Snani Sabari Shira Mahapule Srimata Sabari Shipala In order to protect your servants, you happily ate the last piece of vegetable from the pot. As a result, the sage's stomach became filled as they took bath. So they immediately ran away out of fear.
स्मरण प्रभावि पांडु पुत्री रमोचाना हे सब का सुख तोरा स्मरण कराना
The sons of Pandu were thereby delivered by the influence remembering you. All these wonderful incidents were the results of remembering you.
Akhanda smarana dharma inha sabakara Eni chitra nahe iha sabara udhara
The characteristic of these personalities was to constantly remember you. Therefore, it is not at all wonderful that they were delivered.
Ajamila smaranera mahima para sarva dharma hinataha vaina hiara
Ajamila smaranera Mahima apara sarva dharma hina taha vaitahi ara
bhuta bhai putra snehe dekhi putra mokha sanarile putra name narayana rupa
bhuta bhai putra snehe dekhi putra mokha sanarile The glories of Ajamila's remembrance are unlimited. Even though he did not engage in any religious duties, in fear of the Yamadutas, he affectionately looked at the face of his son and remembered the form of Narayana while calling out the name of his son.
Kandila pada eni chitra nahe bhakta smarana sampad
By that remembrance, all of his sinful reactions were vanquished. Therefore, remembrance of you is the wealth of your devotees.
Hina tura charana smarana hina muni tata pihan prabhu more na chadi bituni
Hina tura charana smarana
hina muni tata pihan prabhu
I am fully devoid of the remembrance of your lotus feet, yet, nevertheless, O Lord, do not forsake me.
Toma dekhibare mora kona adhikara Eka bhai prabhu kichu na chahibara
What qualification do I have to see you? O Lord, I will ask you for only one thing, not more.
Prabhu bale bal bal sakala tumara tumare adeya kichu nahi kamar Prabhu bale bal bal sakala tumara tumare adeya kichu nahi kamar
The Lord said, Speak, speak, everything is yours. There is nothing that I will not give you.
karayo dakari bale prabhu haridasa muni apabhagya prabhu karo banasha
Haridas folded his hands and said, Although I am less fortunate, I have a great desire.
Tomara charana bhaje sakala dasa tara vashishayena haya mura grasa
Tomara charana bhaje sakala dasa tara vashishayena I am more like
God. May the remnants of the servants who worship your lotus feet be my foodstuffs.
Sei se bhajana mora hao janma janma Sei avashesha mora hiya kula dharma
Let this be my devotional service, birth after birth. Let honoring these remnants be my only occupation and religious duty.
Tomara smarana hina papa janma mora saphala karaha daso chishta diya tora
Tomara smarana hina Papa Janma Mora Safala
My life is sinful because I am devoid of remembrance of you. Please make my life successful by allowing me to eat the remnants of your servants.
Ei mora parada hina chitalaya mahapada chaho e mohara yogyanaya
Ei mora parada hina chitalaya mahapada chaho e mohara yogyanaya
I think this is an offense on my part, for I have no qualification to ask for such an exalted position.
Prabhure nathare mora bapa vishwambhara mita muni mora paradakshamakara
Oh, my Lord, oh, Master, oh, my dear Vishwambhar, I'm like a dead person. Please forgive my offense.
Sachidanandana Bapa, Kripa Karamore, Kukura Kariya More, Rakha Bhakta Ghare.
Oh, son of Sachi, oh, dear Lord, please be merciful to me. Kindly keep me in the house of a devotee as a dog.
Hari Dasa Suti Vara Shune Ye Jana Avasha Mili Betare Krishna Primadhana
Adidasa Stuti Vara Shune Ye Jana Avashye Malibe
Krishna Premadhan. Anyone who hears the prayers of Haridas and the benediction he received will certainly obtain the treasure of Krishna Prema.
He vachana morana he sarva shastrikaya bhakta kyana shunile krishne te bhakti haya. Morana he sarva shastrikaya bhakta kyana shunile krishne te bhakti haya.
This is not my statement. This is the verdict of all the scriptures. Simply by hearing topics about the devotees, one develops devotion for Krishna.
Mahabhakta Hari Dasa Thakur Jai Jaya Hari Dasa Sanarane Sarva Papakshaya.
Mahabhakta Hari Dasa Thakuraj Jaya Hari Dasa Sanarane.
All glories to the great devotee Haridas Thakur. By remembering Haridas, all one's sinful reactions are vanquished.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram.
Nitai Gaur Hari Bo,
Nitai Gaur Hari Bo, Hari Bo,
Hari Bo, Gaur Hari Bo.
Haridas Thakur ki jai. A great acharya in Lord Chaitanya's line, teaching us how to deepen our devotion. And by hearing the prayers, just exactly as the verse said, by hearing the prayers, hearing these glories of Haridas, his mood of humility and submission and appreciation, the glorious position of remembrance, wishing to have that means to bring him to remembrance, that is the association of devotees, the mercy of the devotees, the prasad remnants of the devotees as his nourishment. Such is the life of an exalted soul. So he's teaching us, by example, how to deepen our devotion to Krishna and that way become fixed in this lifetime. So let's see if there's some... You have a microphone? Oh, yeah, there's a microphone. Any questions or comments from anybody on this? I missed Dravida's afternoon session. I'm sure it was nice. Yeah.
I was just a little curious about, there's a pastime mentioned in there about Parvati.
Yeah.
I've never heard
anything. I don't know the scriptural reference either. But Vrindavan Das does. And I don't. Does anybody here know the scriptural reference of Parvati being tormented by witches? And anyone know? I'm not familiar. Something from Puranas. I don't know. Yes, right behind you.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. You have spoken about this, but would like to hear more about how do we understand that stage or level of humility that Haridas Thakur is displaying. He's chanting the whole day and he says, I don't have the remembrance of you.
How we to understand, you want to hear something more about how we can be so qualified and at the same time be so humble, basically. What's part of his qualification? It's not a contradiction. It's not odd. It's quite normal. Someone who is truly a qualified person, elevated person, is not thinking badly about themselves, but thinking in a humble way about themselves. That they're lacking in qualification. Our acharyas speak like that all the time. You know, from our position, it's outside of our experience. Our experience in devotional life is something like this, very common. We thought we were like kind of okay until we started doing some scrubbing in our heart, and then we started to realize, oh, there's all these things in my heart. And then panic or something, reacting, some emotional reaction to all that stuff. And then we start cleaning the stuff, and then we find there's more stuff. And we clean that stuff, and there's more stuff. Dravida mentioned it in his Friday evening class, quoting some reference from Bhurijan's book on japa. Bhurijan uses this phrase, this dust covering the mirror of the heart or the mind can be miles thick. So we're just beginning, we're feeling, oh my goodness, so much unwanted, impure things in my heart. They were always there, and there's more, but we're just finding some. So but that's our experience. Now the advanced soul's experience is they're squeaky clean. But they're feeling that same mood of, I must cleanse my heart because it's not clean. Now, he's referring in part to his birth, like Prahlad, born of a demon, and you know, born of a low birth. You know, there's no material qualification, disqualification in bhakti. And he knows that because he's a knowledgeable person. Still, he's considering himself lowly because of that. I'm not educated. He's not educated. But he has full realization of the scriptures. Like Queen Kunti speaking that way about herself. That's just a natural qualification of an advanced person. So we can, don't be surprised and don't be discouraged. If you're finding things in your heart, and there's a lot of work to do. It's standard. There's a lot of work to do. It's good to recognize there's a lot of work to do. It's foolish or self-deception to think we don't have a lot of work to do. That's how we were thinking according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. That's one of the early stages of unsteadiness is utsaha mayi. That is, I have false confidence. I'm this new person, and da 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 da. I can, you know, I'm there. Tomorrow morning we're going to hear something further. Humility expression. It's the beginning part of taking up spiritual life is humility. So in the advanced stage, it's not the humility kind of evaporates. It just becomes more profound. And it's not cosmetic, not, you know, acute expression. It's how an advanced soul feels. We're not there yet. But that's how they feel. Not qualified. Yeah. Follow up, sure.
As you're speaking about the dust on the heart, there is a strong tendency, Guru Maharaj, I have been struggling when I'm seeing those unwanted things. There is a denial and the false humility and saying, okay, I'm not qualified. So I don't want to chant, I don't want to do services, I just want to be away from this.
Well, you can stray from the path of devotion going in the ditch in the left side or going in the ditch in the right side. But stay in the middle of the road, on the path. False humility and false pride. Be self-honest. Well, that requires recalibrating again and again. Really, where are we? Because it can go this way, it can go that way. And we know we're not at the goal, but you know, go too far this way or go too far that way, you just got drawn into the illusory energy away from the path to Krishna. So be vigilant. Be honest. You know, that takes a desire to be honest with oneself, to be honest. And then Krishna can help. And you start going in the wrong, this side or that side direction. You do this recalibration thing all the time. Get your compass out, and where's the goal, and are you headed towards the goal? What is my qualification? What is the strength that Krishna has given me? Am I using that strength that Krishna has given me in the mood of being his servant? And you're striving like that, and you'll see more and more and more and more where I'm starting to head off again. However many times, years, daily, hour by hour, moment by moment. Just so it's not like obsession, but it's devotion. I want to be with Krishna, and I want to leave this darkness behind. But I have to go to Krishna to leave that darkness behind. He's the light. That's what we've been hearing in these prayers. Anyone else? Yes, Subal.
Guru Maharaj, the prayers are very beautiful, and one thing that one I can appreciate is that we have entrance into Srila Haridas Thakur's heart. And in one sense, it's also to understand the heart of such a subtle personality, or how the whole process goes, is it may be way at least over my head. But one thing that I notice is that the prayers basically glorify the remembrance of Krishna, quoting so many examples, and that's at the heart of the prayers. But then the punchline, when Srila Haridas Thakur say, I just want this benediction, one may expect that I can also remember Krishna like that, but his prayer was to be taking the remnants of the devotees, to be sort of in a distance association of devotees, or at least not directly, but just being able to, like a dog, to take remnants. So the question that I have is, in our prayers to try to go further into our Krishna consciousness, the prayers to come closer to Krishna, taking this example of Srila Haridas Thakur, should we rather concentrate, or at least the prayer similarly, to pray for the association, for the service, for the humble service to the devotees, and then pay attention to the other things will come later, the attachments, the desire, the taste, etc., etc., will come later. But this particular element, it seems that Srila Haridas Thakur is telling us that here's where the real, for a fallen conditioned soul that he's placing himself like, this is where we're supposed to pay attention. Is that a proper understanding of this message?
Maybe. It could be other proper understandings of the message as well. The understanding that I receive from hearing this is, in this mood of humility, I don't, even for persons who are fallen and insignificant, you deliver them by that remembrance, but I don't have the remembrance. Not only fallen, but I don't have the capacity of remembrance. So I don't have the qualification to ask you. That's high. Let me ask you for this, because this takes me to that. In the association of devotees, there will be constant remembrance of me. And I receive the prasad. That's a faith. It's the faith that Lord Chaitanya wanted to test Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and he passed the test. Faith in the prasad of Lord Jagannath. Kalidas, faith in the prasad of the Vaishnavas. Lord Chaitanya gave mercy to them. Special mercy that others are otherwise, you know, they don't have the qualification. So he feeling I'm not qualified, here's how I can reach that qualification without asking, I'm not qualified, just please hand over the qualification. He could have asked that. Although I'm not qualified, I'm shameless. That's Rupa Goswami's. So he's a servant of the servant. It's the means to get the qualification that he's feeling he's lacking. That's how I receive that message. So it doesn't mean that this one's right and the other one's less right or something like that. Mukunda wants to say something.
Hare Krishna. When we hear expressions of humility like this, most of the time when I hear this, I think it just flies over my head, like I can't relate. And for some reason, when we were hearing the prayers this time, I was at least able to appreciate the level of humility that Haridas Thakur is expressing. And the fact that he's genuine about it,
yes,
is just another level of can't comprehend.
Well, that was this discussion here. We're,
yeah.
It's beyond our experience.
Yeah. And so my question is, I think our nature as aspiring devotees is that we, or at least I'll speak for myself, that I want to be able to look at my past and see that I've made progress.
Mm.
But that seems to be that desire, wanting to see that I've made progress, seems to be like the polar opposite of gaining more humility, because I would think that having more humility would mean that you would actually see, no, I'm actually further from my goal, maybe.
No, it's two different things. Trust in Krishna, because Krishna will take me to the goal. So I have all faith in Krishna, and in fact Krishna hasn't let me down. I have all faith in Krishna. So that's the, am I making progress? You know, there's another factor here, and that is also the doership mentality. I'm doing it. That's a false ego. No. But it, so if the consideration, it depends on where the focus goes. Is it on me or is it on Krishna and Krishna's mercy? So now if it's on me, it's despite my shortcomings and my conditionings and my who knows how many lifetimes of stubborn attraction for Maya, despite my disqualification, Krishna is very kind. So that's the progress. And then the humility is, the desire is still weak. It's insufficient. Because if the desire was strong and sufficient, I wouldn't just be making progress. The mercy of Krishna would become shining in. Humility, spiritual anything. Spiritual humility is subtle. And it's easy to get mixed up with the mind's modes of nature and contamination and false ego and everything. So be careful. And, you know, yesterday's idea of what humility is not the same as today's, is not the same as tomorrow's. So, it's good. Bhaktivinoda Thakur encouraged us to evaluate, to measure, how are we progressing. And it's not, you know, the sign of humility to say, I'm not progressing. Because then we're just, that's me, and it has, you know, the mercy of Krishna's factors blocked, obscured. I've never seen a small child like that that's so peaceful. Maybe in public, that's what it is. Okay. Does that satisfy, Mukunda? Okay.
It's a practical question. It's a practical question. I'm in a situation, it involves two different devotees. I gave an assignment to a devotee to do a particular service. So that devotee was doing a service and certain things was communicated to devotee B. Devotee B responds to devotee A. It is not about what devotee B was feeling.
It's not about
what the devotee was expressing, how the devotee B is feeling, but how it was done. It was done very disrespectfully, and because devotee A is definitely senior devotee. And a part of me says, humility cannot be taught. It's something one has to do, like it's our own journey, individual journey, and we cannot teach, so let the Krishna factor work and not get involved. And a part of me, the manager hat says, when I wear that, no, you need to intervene and you need to help this devotee. But maybe this devotee may not be ready. Or I'm in this dilemma. When should one step up and speak and one when not to? Because I feel humility is something we cannot teach someone.
Well, certainly you can profile it, but profiling it might be let Krishna do, stay uninvolved and let Krishna do Krishna's thing with this person's heart and let them, etc., etc. Another humility position might be in the mood of service, in the mood of humble service, how to assist this person, because person B may not be aware that their speech is being disrespectful, at least it's being perceived as disrespectful, and without, you know, a friendly and gentle tap on the shoulder, person B may not even be aware. Now, and it can, then a third is the person B is just like, they're not going to hear even if it's, you know, super soul standing in front of them saying, my dear Bhakta B, you just, you know, disrespected a senior Vaishnava, and that's not okay with me. Can you please correct yourself? No. So if that may be the situation, if that's the evaluation, maybe the situation that best to not say anything and let Krishna do what Krishna does with person B. But then again, you may say something without expecting a result, but just expecting in the mood of service, I'm presenting this sound vibration so that maybe at some time later it will be remembered. Anyway, so your question is how to decide where do you draw the line or when do you do this versus do that. I don't think it's just a manager hat. I think of it anyway as a training and education hat. So to create the right kind of culture, it takes association. An association ideally is brahminical association, then certainly amongst those who are brahmanas, they need administrators that do administrative functions according to the teachings of the brahmanas. But whatever the hat is, that the mood of service is essential. So whether you say something, say nothing, they can both be humble. And yes, humility is something that is part of one's journey, but one can help another in their journey. And what's the best way? That's the question. And the start over here, you know, what's the right mood? And then Super Soul can give intelligence. And sometimes we don't have it. We're not tuned into the Super Soul channel and we're not really sure. And if you just let it go, then time has passed and the window of opportunity has closed. But then, you know, a third decision, let me wait till a later point in time when it's not in the heat of the moment. And, you know, some days later or a week later, I observed something I'd like to share with you what I observed. Would that be okay? So it depends on the relationship and depends on the person and many options. You know, where do you draw the line? It's Super Soul inspired, and the captain in the locomotive is the mood of service. That's at the controlling position of my speech, my senses, my actions, my conduct. I want to be in service to this, you know, both person A and person B. Not easy. Judgment call, and we don't always get it right. Yeah, Gokulananda. Oh, okay, give to her, she's fine, I didn't.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, my question is how to maintain humility in unwanted situations.
In which kind?
Unwanted situations.
Well, what are the wanted situations, first of all?
Like, just to present a case, like if somebody is accountable to you and they don't show up or something, then and that service is very important to you. So suddenly, like, anger breaks in. So, but how to maintain humility at that point in time?
Well, same. It's just the mood of service. If you have a service and someone's to report, to assist or something or other, then that's a service. Their service and your service. So you just stay in the mood of service. Now, based upon the person, what's best in the mood of service. So that's all, it's humble, whether it's, you may say, you're fired, or you may say, is everything all right? Or you may say, whatever you may say, but it should be in the mood of service, even if it's you're fired. You know, after multiple discussions and say, please don't do this again, because if it happens again, It's not just disturbing to me, it's disturbing to the group of us who are doing some service together. And, you know, you may need another service. Because this group, you spend some time training and educating. If it doesn't work in the mode of service, then in the mode of service, you take another action. So, but that's just what you do, but the emotion you're asking, how do you maintain that? Just, that's who you are. Your servant. Whether it's here, or over there, or where you are, your servant. That's who you are. So it's who we are.
Thank you.
It's okay. Behind, over here. Yeah. We'll get to you, hopefully.
Remind my question, I think, is in continuation of the two questions asked here. It's about this cultivation of the attitude of confidence or nishchat being the basis of enthusiasm. That when I hear these prayers, at one level I feel very intimidated that seeing some personality who is so clean in one's consciousness, and the journey is so long. To hear it in a way that it redoubles my enthusiasm rather than feeling intimidated, I feel that there is a proper cultivation of this quality of nishchayat need to be, or the confidence need to be there. So I want to hear something on that.
I'm not sure I understood the question. Am I the only one that didn't get the question? Is the question clear to others? No?
Maybe I'll try to rephrase it. I'm not rephrasing it. I can just... This is something I've been kind of contemplating on, this attitude of nishchaya, the confidence, like that. The basis of enthusiasm has to be this quality.
The basis of enthusiasm is?
Is this quality, or the attitude of nishchaya, the confidence.
Confidence. Okay. From you're on nectar of instruction.
Yes.
Okay.
So for me, what I was connecting was that when I hear these prayers, at some level it's intimidating for me.
Intimidating, that's what I thought you said.
Yeah.
Why intimidating?
Because to me it feels like...
He's been on his journey so long and he's feeling he's not there yet.
I felt like I'm too far from the goal.
You?
Yeah.
You feel intimidated.
I'm feeling intimidated.
But why does that have to hearing his prayers?
Because it felt like... at one level, this is where I'm heading toward as a goal, as a final goal, like that kind of purity or connection.
But we covered this. It's her question. How can he have this feeling when he's already there? And then that's intimidating to you because he's already there and he has these feelings. So what about me? It's intimidating. I've got so much more to go. Is that the issue?
I don't know if it's...
How about this? You write it down and get your thoughts more clear, because it's not clear to me.
Sure.
And I'm sure what you're asking is really simple, but the communication isn't. So get the communication clear. We'll discuss. Way over here, Gokulin, and this is the last question. You got a little surprise at the end, by the way. Ice cream and cake. No. Pizza. No.
Regarding humility, this is not a question, but it's, I'm requesting an opinion on a thought.
Okay, I'm ready. Yes, no, or maybe.
So we have a tendency to label
yes,
people as humble, non-humble, or with any other qualities.
Yes.
But the question to me is more like, not this person is humble or not humble, it's more when this person, or what are the situations in which a person behaves humble, or what are the situations that trigger something that makes this person behave in a way that is not humble. So for instance, a devotee may be humble with senior devotees or with a specific senior devotee, but not maybe humble with peers or specific peers. And another aspect is that there are places or situations that a community can create that primes or triggers humbleness in the members of the community. And so it's not all about the person. The problem is not always in the 100% in the person, but it's also a responsibility of the environment and the situations. So I was thinking about the teaching humbleness. That's quite difficult, but at least one can help oneself or others identify the situations in which one is humble, and what are the situations that one have to work on,
yeah,
for being humble. And
okay, you're stepping back from your seeking, you know, some opinion about this. Take the microphone. It's a little bit like sociology 101 or something, meaning your question goes to the context of and what triggers somebody. I have three thoughts. You're asking for my opinion. So my main thought is the topic of humility is primarily right here, not evaluating, as you used at the beginning, the labels over there. So the first is over here. That's one comment on your remarks. Another is similar to this response before. If you're in the mood of service, that's a mark of humility. You just want to be in service. Then naturally, you're going to differentiate in your social interactions with others. How can I be of assistance to this person when it looks to me like this circumstance or this type of circumstance is an area they could use some help with? Maybe I can be of some help with that. Because if you're in the mood of wanting to be in service, the door is going to be open if the person is humble. And if the person isn't, the door is going to be locked no matter what your perception is or what's going on. You know, your perception could be right or wrong or somewhere in between. But so the mood of service is essential, and not labeled, because that's judging and that's not wholesome. How can I be of service? First, like, let me get clear in my relationship with this person. Have I understood or misunderstood? And then, in the mood of service, I can be of some assistance. I mean, it's similar, not totally different, but similar to Himangi's question. Not the same, but somewhat similar. And how can I be of service? So then the third is, I already said it, but I'll say it again. Avoid judging or labeling. We want to be of service, first of all, be qualified, and then be of service as best we can to those around us. And not just the Vaishnava community and everybody else can, you know, go fly a kite. It's the world in which we live. And yes, the world in which we live helps shape how we are. But that's not the only, it is a big factor, but there's free will choices going on all the time. And therefore, let me be in service, the kind of association that can help people get out of their autobiography, their conditioning of the circumstances of their life. But that's between them and Krishna, and I can just be an instrument. That touches, I think, a little bit on what Himangi was asking. You can be the humble instrument of Krishna and say something. You can be the humble instrument of Krishna and say nothing. Depends what's appropriate. But always in the mode of service, humble service. That's my... I'm sure there's more to say on this, but it's 10 minutes after 8.